So we just wrapped up the second session of the first retreat of the International Commission on Multilateralism, which was looking at the changing nature of conflict. And I'm now speaking to Lise Howard, Associate Professor of Government at Georgetown University. Lise, what in your view are the new threats? What's new in the international system in relation to peace and security, and what's actually old?
We tend to think that there are a variety of new threats, and in some ways I don't think they're actually very old. The new threats that we were mentioning just now, an increase in violent non-state actors of extremist ideologies, those two phenomena in particular are not new. They were with us during the Cold War. But what is new, and that's difficult to confront in some ways, is a growing weakness among both rebels and among governments. So governments are characterized by an ability to control their territories increasingly, and rebel groups also can't necessarily control their territories. And when you have a combination of weakness on both sides, it's when violent conflicts become particularly intractable.
There's another trend that you mentioned when you were speaking about the rise of a norm in non-negotiation. Could you tell me about that, please?
Sure. So first I have to talk about the rise of the norm of negotiation. During the 1990s, after the end of the Cold War, we had a rise in a statistical rise that's really quite clear, negotiated settlements in civil wars. Historically, civil wars end in non-negotiation. They end in complete defeat on the battlefield. And there are different flavors of that complete defeat. It's either political, so it's complete political defeat, expulsion of the losing side, or the extermination of the losing side. That historically is how civil wars ended. And then in the 1990s, we had a rise of negotiated settlements in civil wars. And we saw at the same time a concurrent decrease in the number of civil wars as negotiations went up. So we had a rise in this norm of negotiation, and we saw a physical rise in negotiation in the real world. After the attacks of 9/11, there was always a norm against negotiating with terrorists, but I think that norm has been strengthened to the detriment of the norm of negotiation. So we have increasingly a norm of non-negotiation with terrorists. We don't want to negotiate with terrorists. And at the same time, we see less and less negotiation as a way to end civil wars. In other words, we see it as normatively appropriate to seek to defeat rebels, to seek to defeat terrorists rather than to talk to them.
How is this impacting on the use of force more broadly in the international system, and in particular in terms of UN peacekeeping?
I don't know if I can make this causal argument quite yet, but I think eventually I'll be able to. It's my hunch that the way in which they're connected is the following. The means of peacekeeping, when peacekeeping was most successful in the 1990s, and there were varieties of successful cases, and my first book is looking at those successful cases, we had peacekeeping resorting not to the use of force, because that wasn't available, but rather to innovative strategies in the field. And it was different in each operation, in each peacekeeping operation. They had to innovate in the field in order to figure out how to fulfill their mandates. Now, more and more, with the rise of this appropriateness of the use of force to solve problems, we see this rise of the appropriateness in robust peacekeeping, that this is the approach that the international community sees as appropriate. And we see an increase in the number of mandates to use force. Every single multidimensional peacekeeping mission now is authorized under Chapter 7. We don't see much of a capacity in the UN to use force, but there is still the expectation that the UN will be able to use force, and more the means at the UN's disposal to be using force in civil wars.
Tell me, in your mind, about the changing nature of conflict as it relates to an increase or decrease in war. So, on the one hand, there are some who say that the consequences of war are getting more serious, but purely in terms of the occurrence of war and the different ways that that's measured, is war increasing or decreasing in the grand scheme of things?
It's a little bit difficult to tell right now. I can tell you that across the grand arc of history, if we look back to the Middle Ages, according to the physical anthropologists, something along the lines of 40% of human beings died in violent deaths. So when we dig up old graves, We find that people were killed with arrows and by being quartered. I mean, really, people dying extremely violent deaths. And now under 1% of the people in the world die in violent deaths. We know that people die in different ways now. And it's not usually by violence. There have been three big books about the overall decline in war, and a collection of papers also, finding similar trends, but all looking at different data sets, that war is in decline. Wars between states are in decline. Civil wars have been in decline, especially wars between states, especially since 1945. Within states, especially since the end of the Cold War. In the last 3 years, it seems that there's been an uptake both in the number of battle deaths and in the overall number of civil wars. We have new wars of intervention that aren't typical wars between states, right? And so there's been an uptick in those also. But for the overall picture, it's up for debate now whether there's an uptick in the number of wars right now.
So when you spoke earlier, you mentioned three forms of power in the international system. There are tools of coercion, tools of inducement, and tools of persuasion. Where do you think the UN and member states should be focusing their work on? Which tool is most appropriate?
Well, I think given the history of the UN, that it's about ending the scourge of war, we know automatically that of the main tools of power, inducement and persuasion have generally worked best for the UN. So inducement with the creation of the IMF and the World Bank, it's inducing countries through financial means to develop and to integrate into the world economy, into the global economy. Now that's had differing results, of course, for differing places, but that's the basic idea. We also have sanctions, which is another form of inducement. That's a negative form. Peacekeeping, I would argue, has generally worked best when it's situated in the realm of persuasion, when it is about peacekeepers talking to average citizens in the country where they're sent to keep the peace, to try to understand what their needs are, what kind of institutions could work in the post-Civil War setting. I'm predicating this on having a peace agreement already. And then also to understand and to convey what the UN can and can't provide in those civil wars. So peacekeeping, in my estimation, which I have argued in my book, generally works best when it relies more on the elements of persuasion and less on the elements of coercion. The basic concept of peacekeeping was when Doug Hammarskjöld talked about it, or when Ralph Bunche, they were soldiers for peace, so they wouldn't use their arms, but they would be there in the cause of helping societies and states to resolve their differences politically as opposed to militarily.
Excellent. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.